Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, you're listening to Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by BMW Fairfield.
In about 3 hours, we got game four. After that, will there be any more? I just rhymed. I'm sorry. It's a terrible way to open a show. But that's the question. Can they wrap it up tonight? There have been six Steph Curry era sweeps. Will we see number seven tonight? I think we all know where this goes. It does end up in the NBA Finals, which is extraordinary in its own right. But can they get there without expending another ounce of unnecessary energy on the Dallas Mavericks? 48 minutes away from answering that question tonight. Ray, hello. Here we go. It's punch your ticket to the NBA Finals time if you're the Golden State Warriors tonight.
Yeah, although I looked this up, then teams that sweep and then have like an 8 or 9 day, at least an 8 day layoff before the finals start, you don't even win half the time in the opener. And they barely win half the time in the series. So it's helpful. It's not, you know, it's way better than losing three in a row and having to go to game seven, which has happened three times. But in terms of long-term prognosis, I was surprised to learn that it makes almost no difference at all.
If we're going to err on the side of history and what history means to the league, we can't dismiss it. And you're right to say it doesn't greatly affect the outcome. However, that outcome hasn't been applied to the Golden State Warriors. They have yet to run this particular scenario at this age in their life cycles. And I do think there is merit in an extra long layoff for a team that's trying to get no fewer than three guys maybe back and healthy to play in the NBA Finals. I'm talking about Otto Porter, who was out tonight. Talking about Andre Iguodala, who we haven't seen in a really long time, and everyone's kind of holding their breath and hoping that they'll see Gary Payton II again. So I think that the 8 day layoff, although you are right, it does not equal an easy path forward. It equals more time to rest up for a team that I think would benefit from it.
Well, except that the injuries don't matter. It's the guys who are currently playing who might want a few days off. My only question is whether 8 or 9 days, you know, brings in the level of rust. And since the results are sort of inconclusive, it almost doesn't matter. The guys who are injured, they're going to come back when they're healthy. And whether the Warriors play or not is irrelevant to that, because I don't believe Golden State is the kind of team that would rush a guy back out of some sort of fear that they can't win without him.
Yeah, not even in the NBA Finals. I would agree with you.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's a nice thing, but it's not really dispositive of anything. I think they're going to win or lose in the finals on their own merits, and they'll win tonight or lose tonight on their own merits. What I find more interesting is that Dallas has had some games where they've shot phenomenally in this postseason and lost, and had at least three games where they've shot horribly and won. So I don't know what to make of them at all, which is why I get why Vegas said, you know what, they're the home team, we'll just give them a point. Because otherwise, you would think team that's down 3-0 is probably ready to start getting tee times. But Vegas doesn't seem to think so, and that should make a fan nervous.
If I am Jason Kidd, I am definitely in that locker room. thumping a little fire and brimstone about how I didn't like the way everyone was approaching that last postgame press conference. It sounded like we were starting to sign our yearbooks and say goodbye to each other. There's still a game to go play. There is still a little dignity for the Dallas Mavericks to salvage here on the biggest stage any of those guys have ever been on. Now we know that they're outgunned. It's basically Luka and others. The Warriors have an awful lot more than that. That's why they're in this position. No team has ever come back from down 0-3 in NBA playoff history. And the Warriors, look, they're very astute when it comes to keeping an eye on NBA history. This team understands its own place, I think, in NBA history. 146, well, 0-146 is how many times we've seen a 3-0 deficit. 0-146 casts a very large shadow over 75 years of NBA basketball, but it's not history that is going to have anything to do with this. I think more than anything else, the Warriors are built to not blow this, and maybe even more importantly, the Dallas Mavericks are just not built to overcome this position. So if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm just asking the guys tonight, and there clearly doesn't need to be a lot of pregame speeching from Steve Kerr. I don't think there's any game that comes with a lot of pregame speeching from Steve Kerr. But tonight, I think the message is real simple. Right when you're about to loosen up, buckle down for another 5 more minutes. Don't take your eye off the ball. Don't start fooling around. Don't get a little too on the edge of not where we're at our best sloppy careless, but when we might be at our worst sloppy careless. Any more energy that you would waste on eliminating the Dallas Mavericks after tonight is officially wasted fuel.
I don't know that he would say anything to them at all because, one, a pregame talk to a bunch of guys in their early to mid-30s sort of just gets them to roll their eyes. And I don't know that Steve Kerr does a lot of pregame speechifying.
No, there's not. No, he's not good delivering much of a stump speech. So, but he's got to say something. He's got to say something in that locker
just
room.
I think what he would probably say is, okay, lay up lines in 5 minutes. I think that's it because he has an unusual team that is built around guys who are both in their early 30s, but still largely playing in their prime. They know what is required to get up for a game of this significance. And I think for him, I think it would be like the old Daryl Sutter line, where they lose a game in double overtime, and he goes into the media room, and the first question is, what did you tell your guys after the game? And he says, planes at 11, and he walked out of the room. That was it. Plane rides at 11. I think that he would absolutely not give them anything that looks like motivation because I think he trusts them enough to motivate themselves. He might scream at them during the game if things are going goofy, but I think before the game, he will play it as though it was a Thursday night in Orlando.
That's the thing. I think he's just going to say, guys, take care of your business tonight. You'd be glad that you did. You'd be glad that you did. There's a lot of incentive for those who might want a week off. Handle your business tonight. Go ahead and do it. It's again, this is not a dramatic speech that will do well in the movie. But you don't become a head coach to say nothing to your basketball team before they go out and take the floor. So he's got to say a little something. And I think he'll just say, guys, keep it focused because we can get a little sloppy.
But sometimes nothing is exactly the right thing to say. Is just to go in and say, okay, we go out in 5 minutes, and then just leave. I mean, because sometimes the best message is the one that you don't even have to say. Because who on that roster needs a pregame talk?
Moses Moody.
You think he needs a pregame
talk? No. Yeah. We're brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. So here's what we got booked for later on today. When Warriors Live starts, we're going to say hello to John Dickinson, who's back in Dallas and going to give us a latest scene setter. We are going to have the interview that we did yesterday with Steve Kerr around 5 o'clock for you. Tim Roy takes over at 5:30. And then before you know it, it's going to be 6 o'clock and tip-off of Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. From the Xfinity Mobile text line, Damon, I guess you didn't hear Kidd's interview, huh? He sounded more resigned to defeat than any of his players did. Well, he understands basketball history, too. And I think he also understands that his team is up against it. But I would imagine that he then realized that what we just did in that press conference needs a little course correcting. And you got to at least present, we got to go out on a shield here, guys. So we'll see what the Dallas Mavericks have for the Warriors tonight. Every single time I expect them to have, well, you can't shoot worse than that. They somehow kind of shoot worse than that. So that's what the Warriors got going for them. They're a lot better. Dallas feels to be crestfallen about this situation. And wrap it up tonight in Game 4 if you can. We got an awful lot of basketball coming your way. Before we get into our basketball, a few other things in our next segment from the world of sports, including the fact that there is a serious power outage for the San Francisco Giants right now, and they are looking at yet another 5-game losing streak already this year. We have an awful lot to get to. Sound from the team coming out of today. I know Bob Myers stopped on by the morning roast. There's some stuff that we need to get into there. So it's good to have you here over the next couple of hours. We're going to get you ready with Warriors Live starting at 4:30 tonight on 95.7 The Game. Damon and Ratto, and we are brought to you by your Northern California Toyota dealers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield. Now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit.
Warriors Live ahead of Game 4 starts at 4:30 tonight here on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate hub for all things sports. Live game shows, news, highlights, all in one place. Warriors Live, 4:30. We got a lot of basketball coming up today. Chance to punch a ticket to the NBA Finals. Who'd have thunk it? Seriously, going back to where this team was around the All-Star break. Who'd have thunk it? Here they are. It's really something else. Before we get into all that, though, Ray, there are a few other things we need to mention. Right now, we saw, I guess, Sean Manaea earlier this week, a former A's pitcher coming back to the Bay Area. We get another tonight, Chris Bassitt. On the hill for the New York Mets tonight against the Giants, who are sending up Logan Webb, who is, you know, proving to be their ace. He is 5-1 with a 3.54 ERA. Chris Bassitt off to a really nice start, 4-2, 2.77. But man, as good of a pitching matchup as that is, I got bad news for Giants fans. They are riding their second five-game losing streak so far this season, outscored 38-15, Ray, during this five-game losing streak that dates back to their final game in Colorado. It's been ugly. It has been it's been some bad baseball, and I really don't need to watch any more position players pitching. The Luis Gonzalez thing was cute for a minute, not anymore. And they're really counting, I think, on Evan Longoria to show back up and make that lineup turn over a little bit more. Hasn't really happened yet. Well, turn your mic on. You're ready for game four. Ray's ready.
It's not the hitting that's been the big problem. It's the pitching. They've gotten one decent start in those five games, and that was Rodon on Sunday. Or Saturday, I take it back. The rest of the time, they've been raked, and they've been raked hard. And it's, you know, this is supposed to be their strength. You know, they're supposed to be a team that, you know, averages maybe four runs a game. But, you know, to give up eight a game is, you know, that's not who they think they are when they're playing well.
They were pounded 13-3 by New York last night. Wasn't exactly a great night in the outfield for Darren Ruff, who for a left fielder is a heck of a first baseman.
Yeah, he's a little miscast in the pasture. But the day before, they also lost 10-1. So it's, you know, because the season's so long, every team will have a stretch like this. But to basically give up, like I said, eight runs a game in that stretch is unlike what the Giants do when they're going, even if they're not going well, even if they're going okay. They'll lose the odd 2-1 game like they lost Saturday. But they don't. They don't lose 10-1. They don't lose 13-3.
No, that's unsustainable. And look, everyone wants to say, you know, how much can this team produce like last year's team? The answer so far is it's not good. I mean, just not good. There's no other way to look at it. I think that they came in with a little wish and a prayer in their own system other than bona fide and reliable major league talent, which they decided to not spend money on as they're waiting for their crop of young prospects to take over here. But in the meantime, that 107-win team, Ray, guess how many five-game losing streaks they had last year?
I would guess zero.
Zero is correct. The Giants are riding their second five-game losing streak of this season already this year right now. So it's been a streaky season, to say the least. You can say it's not the offense, and you're right. The Giants historically are a pitch-first, play-defense second, driving a couple runs third, kind of a baseball team. Having said all that, they played 41 games, and Joc Pederson is their home run leader with seven home runs. They don't have a single other player who has hit five yet. I think they got four guys who've hit four home runs through 41 games. It's not a lot of power at all from a ballpark and a team that you thought might have turned a corner. Now, I know that the baseball is a little mushier than it usually is, and players don't like it, and no one's happy with it, and power numbers are down everywhere. They're really down for the Giants. Nobody is above 25 RBI already on the year. Feels like that should have already happened, too. So there's just a power outage for a team that is struggling with its pitching right now, and that's not a very good formula.
And yet, they're fifth in runs scored. They're ninth in homers. So it's not like they are out of whack with the rest of baseball. And since most stats are basically tools for comparison, they're doing okay power-wise. It's down from last year, but everything about baseball is down from last year. I think the bigger problem is that they are an ordinary pitching team, and that's not really, you know, how they were going to survive here. I mean, their ERA plus, which is a better barometer than just team ERA. I mean, they're like below the Rockies. They're 24th. You know, that's where the fall off is. And it's not just recency bias. You can't be that team because that's not the way they won last year. They won with pitching and defense and a ton of homers. Well, if homers are down all the way around, if you're going to win, you'd better have superior pitching and superior fielding. They have neither of those.
They've been bitten by COVID bugs, by a couple injury bugs early on. I mean, you got Padlo back in the lineup last night after getting a cup of coffee against LA, then going away. Now he's back again, and there's just a never-ending, who's that guy? Who's tonight? Who's that in the Giants lineup? It feels like they have, you know, officially pushed the tinker-tinker overthinker a little bit, like as far as it can go. Like, I understand that, you know, Chris Bryant isn't having a very good year and is hurt all the time in Colorado. I'd like to see his bat in this lineup still. I don't care what it's doing or not. Nick Castellanos, that should have happened. A couple of names out there that are big names that cost a lot of money. There's guys who are still producing. There's guys who are paid through the nose who are still getting theirs all over Major League Baseball. So if you pay for hitting, you usually get it.
They don't. What's the big hitting free agent they've gotten? And every time we hear about somebody like Bryce Harper, ooh, they were in it till the end. I think ultimately they're being played as the alternate bidder for teams that players would rather go to. Nick Castellanos, at no point did I see a story that said Nick Castellanos is really hot for the Giants. He went to Philadelphia because Philadelphia is a bandbox. It's a great place to hit. The Giants have had 1 year of it being a great place to hit, unless Barry Bonds is in the lineup, and I don't think he's coming back anytime soon.
Although he's never officially retired. I mean, we do have that.
I don't know if he's officially retired, but I think we can probably draw some inferences.
Probably over.
Like maybe his 60th birthday might be a tip-off.
That probably a good indicator. So, look, the Giants are playing some really bad baseball. They've been playing bad baseball for over a week now, and it is reflecting in their standings. They went from a half game back to now six games back, kind of in the blink of an eye. So they need to right this ship because they're about to leave for a season-long 10-game road trip. Now it brings them through a couple of winnable situations in Cincinnati, in Miami. But if you want to be a good baseball team, you got to do something other than beat bad baseball teams. And right now, good baseball teams are kind of hammering the San Francisco Giants. Meanwhile, the A's are up in Seattle. They've lost three in a row. They got James Caprillion going tonight. He's still looking for his first win of the year. He is 0-2 with a 4.50 ERA. From the Xfinity Mobile text line, Damon, whatever happened to the John Dickinson Super Reporter song? Can we hear that for old time's sakes? I bet even Ray misses it. I don't know about that, but I can tell you.
Let me assure you, I don't.
Go ahead, play it.
John Dickinson, Super Reporter.
He's going to join us around 4:45 from Dallas, and we will intro him with the song. I mean, if we're going to get back to the old normal, Warriors going to NBA Finals, that was part of it. So we're going to have to bring all of it back. So we will have it for you in its glorious entirety at 4:45 when JD joins. JD, I think, hates it.
He's right to do so.
Yeah, we don't care today, though. We're gonna.
Oh, no, I know nobody cares ever.
No, we've asked him about it before. He doesn't hate it.
He doesn't hate it.
No, he's good.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
He's lying to you. He hates it.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's a hit. I can smell it.
It's a cat thrown in a blender.
Kids want it.
Kids.
They're requesting it. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. So there you go. There's all the baseball you need to know. You probably won't watch either game for a millisecond tonight because we got Warriors basketball and bigger fish to fry trying to get back to the NBA Finals. Also, there is some NFL news to tell you about. Well, there's NFL news every single day, especially now that OTAs are underway. Kyle Shanahan, the Shanahan has spoken. Oh my goodness, what has he had to say? Remember, when's the last time we heard from Kyle?
I think the day after they got their hats blocked in the conference final.
I think that's it. I think it's the last time we have
heard
from Kyle.
Did he talk before the draft? And if so, did we care?
I know you didn't.
Oh, you got that nailed. But
I think it was just Lynch, though.
Yeah.
I think it was just Lynch. You had Kyle Shanahan wanting to sit on back. He didn't want to get into Debo Central. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's really good at putting up shields.
By the way, He was, of course, asked about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Nothing's changed since the surgery, where we were at before that. And then he got the surgery, so everything went on hold. I expect him at some time, most likely to be traded, but who knows? That's not a guarantee, and it's been exactly on hold when that happened. And when he's healthy, we'll see what happens.
He goes ahead. He talks like this all the time. He's got that cadence. This is the way Kyle talks. I wonder if he's like that ordering dinner.
No. I can assure you, that is the tone he wants to give you when he wants to dismiss a question out of hand. Because it's just sing-songy. We'll it's start. Like, I've had to answer this 50 times. I'm just going to play a medley of my only hit.
I'm going to start with a nice bottle of Pinot Grigio. I'll get the calamari. Move on to a wedge salad. I'll have the ribeye. Medium rare. Skip on dessert. I'm a coach.
You don't drink white with red with meat?
No, but for the wedge salad, then of course you'd move to a bigger bottle of red once the meat hit the table.
Yeah, the kind that comes in a box.
Alex Mack is not at OTAs. We can tell you that. No one was expecting him at OTAs. He would be returning for a 14th NFL season. Will there be a 14th NFL season for Alex Mack? Question mark. The answer is probably not. It seems like one of the ways that it was basically, you know, the way that they positioned it was, yeah, we think we know what is going on with Alex, but it's not our position to announce anything. So, you know, we're just going to sort of hold the door open.
We're just going to announce it without saying it.
Sounded like it. It really did. We can tell you that Trey Lance is QB1. He is getting all the snaps. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, what's the alternative? The other guy's got his arm in a sling.
Brock Purdy.
Please.
Come on, man.
A guy with two last names.
He does have two last names, but I have two last names. You got a problem with
have
that?
Have you taken any snaps?
No.
Thank you. I rest my case.
But I wasn't one of the most prolific passers in Big 12 conference history, Ray.
Everybody's a prolific passer in the Big 12 now.
So I could have been. You're telling me I blew it. Had I just gone to Oklahoma?
Had you just been born 25 years later to different parents? Yeah, you had a shot.
Hey, look, Brock Purdy's doing it right now. Born to the parents that delivered him to this world. Anyway, obviously, it's Trey Lance's world. We're all living in it. You got Shanahan basically saying, yeah, we're going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo on the first thing smoking, the first chance we get. That's what's going on here. I can't help but notice that Jimmy Garoppolo's final statement to the San Francisco Bay Area media was, thanks for the ride. See ya.
See ya.
There you go. I mean, you don't say thanks for the ride if you're staying in the car.
You put too much stock in what they say behind a podium.
Oh, no. That guy, that was a goodbye. That was a goodbye, Ray.
It may be, but that's before the surgery made him, at least for the moment, untradeable.
He will be traded before the year starts. It's basically what Kyle said, and I do believe him, even though the cadence is a little funny.
I don't believe him until he finds a partner. He may want to trade him desperately. But until somebody says, yeah, that's the guy I want.
It'll happen. It'll happen. Somebody's going to want Garoppolo. He holds
you're
value.
You need to hope for a guy to get catastrophically hurt in training camp.
It's going to happen.
Okay.
Every year. Happens every single year. Somebody goes down. Somebody gets hurt. Something goes wrong. A plan is a foul.
Okay.
Got to trust me on this, right? Jake Brendel is your backup center from last season. So he is the man who is giving those snaps to Lance. I'm guessing if Trey Lance is taking snaps, what do you say the center is doing? Giving snaps?
Snapping.
Snapping. Did you see the West Side Story remake?
You know, you got nothing in this segment, and you're just vamping crazily.
No, look, Daniel Brunskill, by the way, according to the Cobra himself, Matt Maiocco, could also be an option at center for the 49ers. We do know that there are no Debo sightings at OTAs. Will he be at the Warriors game tonight? I'm going to tell you right now that there is a little something to Debo going to the Warriors game in Game 3. Getting a picture, a little FaceTime with Steph Curry. Why would he go out of his way to do that if he wasn't realizing that he was going to end up back in the Bay Area? So I do think that there's a little something to Debo being at that Warriors game in Game 3. Who knows if he's back there tonight? He was there for Game 3. Remember, nothing is mandatory about coming to work out down in Santa Clara until we get to June 13th. That's when we're going to have mandatory camp. This is all voluntary right now. A couple of other NFL headlines. The Combine. The decision has been made to keep the combine in Indianapolis for at least the next 2 years. The NFL, of course, now envisions everything they do as a ticketed event that they could take as a traveling roadshow to NFL destinations all around. Could they do anything to take the combine and turn it into the draft? Well, the answer is right now, no. They're going to kick that idea down the road for at least a couple years, and it's the right thing to do. Because you know what's happening at the NFL Combine? Work. An awful lot of it. It's a very busy time for NFL teams. They don't want to be traipsing through a brand new city, trying to get through a horde of people, getting to a ticketed event where now there are, what, 10,000 people sitting at the Combine watching it? First of all, it's just people stretching in underwear and running in underwear. I don't know how much of a show that is, but we do watch it on TV. It's a boon for NFL Network. But try to turn that into an event, it just doesn't make much sense. So I'm glad that they're at least staying in Indianapolis. Indianapolis is the kind of city that's actually built perfectly for the Combine. You got two hotels. They're both connected to the stadium, basically. Everybody gets to travel easily. It's an easy town to gather.
It's the location.
Yeah.
There is no NFL city that is closer to more NFL cities than Indianapolis is. Not Kansas City, not Denver, you know, wherever you... Indianapolis is the geographical epicenter of the league. So that's where you're going to put it. And you're bearing the lead anyway.
Which is?
They're talking about killing off the Pro Bowl.
Oh, so that was the next story.
Okay.
So the NFL is talking about making the Pro Bowl a quote-unquote non-tackling event. So that makes it a non-football game. That's just,
exactly.
I mean, come on. Here's what the NFL needs to do, but they're trying to work their way around this because maniacs, lunatics, actually tune into the Pro Bowl. There will be more people tuning into the NFL Pro Bowl than tonight's Game 4 of the NBA Western Conference Finals. Isn't that ridiculous?
Oh, no. It's a sign that our culture is finished.
The NFL talking about making the Pro Bowl a non-tackle event, which means it's not even a sporting event at that point, which means just knock it off. Like, find whatever dignity that is left for this game and just cancel it. Submit the list. Tell me who's a Pro Bowler. Cancel the game. You're welcome, NFL. That's what you should do.
What they're trying to do, and this is according to Ian Rappaport, not me, because when I see the words Pro Bowl, I fall into a coma, is they're trying to figure out something that will generate more money than the Pro Bowl does. And you said it yourself. There are just enough lunatics, you know, psychos and bunker dwellers who still believe that is something that they should devote part of their lifespan to. And so that's going to be there until they figure out something better. And they probably will.
They should make a Battle of the Network Star style.
Fewer people will watch that than will watch this. I mean, we laugh at the Pro Bowl because it is the most inconsequential sporting event in the world. But
it's awful. It's unwatchable.
Yeah, but you still get 10 million people who do. I mean, the fact is, the Pro Bowl exists because we are a stupider country than we used to be. And until we start putting more money in education and starting to make sure that our kids get the kind of cultural and ethical training they should have, the Pro Bowl will continue to live.
I'm going to teach my kids to not watch the Pro Bowl. I do know that. It's a sign of good parenting.
Well, then you had better make sure that all the remotes are stolen on that day.
They'll know.
Say, sorry, no Daniel Tiger for you.
They'll know. No Pro Bowl. Not in this house.
Besides, that's not even the best story of the weekend anyway.
Which is?
Oh, I'll make this quick because we're up against a break. A soccer team in Bulgaria playing their last game of the year. You'll like this one because it's got next to nothing to do with soccer, but it's perfect. They're in a tie with another team, and they need a win to keep from being relegated. They get a penalty kick in the 96th minute, which is basically overtime.
Yeah.
And a guy lines up to take the kick when the team's owner runs onto the field, grabs the guy and says, "You're not taking the kick. That guy is." The guy who was going to take the kick is walked off the field by security. The guy who takes the kick misses. They tie the game. They get relegated. And at the end of the night, the guy disbands the team.
What?
He disbands the team. See, I told you it was worth it.
Okay, that officially did not end the way I thought it was going to end.
Yeah.
So he just wants out of the soccer business and didn't even want to have his team. Did he put in a ringer to miss it intentionally? Or did he think
No, the guy he put in is the guy who had taken their penalties most of the year. So if he was a ringer, it was a cleverly disguised one. And I'm not ruling out the possibility that the fix was in all the way along, and the guy just wanted to get out. But he would have probably preferred to get out by selling the team to some other poor bastard.
All right, in the 30 seconds we got left here, I'll see your soccer story with one other thing that I told you, like, did catch my eye. You told me about that Mbappe guy.
Whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So you had me enough to be a little curious about it. I read the story, and basically he was offered two choices. A pile of money you can't see over here, or a pile of money that you can't see over to stay here in Paris and run every conceivable aspect of the team, essentially down to picking the color of the Gatorade you prefer.
Yeah.
So they're going to let a player pick the coach, pick the trainer, pick basically the in-stadium announcer, and have total control over the team?
No, it's not that. But he's going to get to be in the room for all the major decisions, like who gets signed, who gets released. So he's essentially
de facto general manager.
Not de facto. He's in the room. He doesn't. Apparently, he does not have the last say, but he has a say. And the other reason why he chose Paris Saint-Germain rather than Real Madrid is because Paris Saint-Germain is run by one of the Arab Emirates, which basically has more money than Spain as a country.
And it's not Germain? It's not Paris Saint-Germain? It's Germain? No,
Germain.
Okay.
So basically, he went where the money is.
You know where the money is, and they're also, like, they got, you know, the Olympics are coming to Paris. He can be the face of that, too. He's well-positioned.
Yeah, basically, well, I mean, the story but he is 24. He's getting up there in years.
Grandpa Mbappe.
Yeah, he may have only a couple of years left.
We have an awful lot to get into when it comes to where the Warriors are, what they're looking at, and are we really looking at one of the worst NBA postseasons we can remember? Just based on the results we're getting in some of these games, the answer is, yeah, kind of. So we're going to come on back with that. Much more on the way. We get into Warriors Live at 4:30 this evening here on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you, Damon and Ray, by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. It is great having you here this afternoon. We got Warriors basketball, a big Warrior basketball game coming up tonight. It's game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. Warriors win, and they are in the NBA Finals, and they don't have to deal with the Dallas Mavericks. No mo. In about an hour from now, we will bring in John Dickinson with his anthem. I mean, why not? Today's full of member berries, don't you think?
Ooh, I did it.
Yeah. Damon, what happened to the member berries? Oh, they're never far away.
Ooh, I remember.
Ooh, remember.
Ray, don't pretend you're not enjoying this.
It couldn't be more awful, but I don't have a vote, so.
Ooh, I remember.
I remember all these things. I totally do, because it's like The Warriors are going to 5 straight NBA finals. These things happen. So we will have the John Dickinson theme song for you before we bring him on today. What I remember, Ray, is that I said Curry and Clay and Poole, basically, they just need to get up around their career percentages from three, and the Warriors will be going to the NBA Finals. And I kind of went through it today, and here's where we are. Steph Curry is averaging 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists in the Western Conference Finals. He is shooting 48% from three-point range in this series. It doesn't feel like that, but he is. He's shooting 48% from three. He's shooting 49% from the floor overall. So basically knocking down one out of every two shots, no matter where that shot is coming from. Steph Curry, guess what? Career averages, he's above them. So that brings us to Klay Thompson, who has struggled from downtown so far in the Western Conference Finals. He's only 27% from three, but he hasn't taken an awful lot of them. He hasn't turned himself into a volume shooter. He is 5 of 18 in the Western Conference Finals. I'll tell you, Klay Thompson has yet to have a 20-point game in this series. He shot 37% from downtown against Memphis, 42% from downtown against Denver. So he has regressed as a shooter in this series, which means, what do we know about Klay Thompson? If I think I remember correctly, it means he's usually due. So I think Klay could wake up tonight from a shooting slump. And that brings us to Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole in the regular season shot 36% from three-point. He's 42% through the first three games of the Western Conference Finals, and he hasn't been overly ambitious with the three. He's picking and choosing his moments, and he's making them count. He is 5 of 12. He's only taken 12 threes. He's averaging 17 points per game in this series, and he's a 90% shooter still from the free throw line whenever asked to go there. So you have Steph and Poole shooting now above their three-point percentages of the regular season. And it feels like Klay Thompson, although in a deeper hole, could join them at any moment because that's kind of what Klay Thompson does. I think that goes a long way to explain why it is the Warriors are looking at a chance to sweep tonight.
But Thompson's also shooting 60% from inside the arc. So he's not settling for threes, and he's getting his points in other ways.
Yeah, again, he's only taken 18.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing about this series is the Warriors haven't won any games with the three. They've won the games by watching Dallas take a series of bad threes. And I think that's the biggest takeaway. They've owned the boards. They've shot better inside the arc than they had any reason to believe they should. And they've been the team in the paint that they weren't against Memphis. You know, they're doing an exemplary job of taking what they're given and making the most of it, which is why their last two wins were by 9 points and 9 points, but they never seemed like they were in deep trouble either time.
So you're talking about those margins of victory, which is bringing us to a question. Is this among the least entertaining? Worst is, it's subjective. Has this been, maybe even entertaining is the wrong word.
Because at least dramatic.
Compelling. Dramatic. Yeah, that's where I'm kind of going with this. Over the last two rounds, the average margin of victory is nearly 16 points per game, 15.8 points per game. In the conference finals, we played 7 games in the East and the West. Of those 7 games, just one has been decided by 8 points or fewer. That was game 3 in Miami. It was game 3 Miami at Boston, where the Heat led by 26 in the first half. So if you missed half that game, you're good. Game 2 of the Warriors-Mavs was fun. Warriors came back from down 19, so that had a huge chasm in it at one time. Only 2 good games in terms of what I think the casual, uninterested, non-rooting interest fan would really take away from here. There's been 2 good games out of 7 in the conference finals. Now, I know Warriors fans are enjoying the hell out of it. If you're a Mavericks fan, you haven't enjoyed any of this so far. If you're Boston, if you're Miami, I don't think you want to play anymore in that. Like, that series sucks.
It sucks, but it's also going to start to become a real grind at this point. And that's the one thing that both of those teams probably would prefer to avoid. Because if the Warriors are going to have, let's say they lose tonight and they have a 7-day layoff instead of the absurd 9-day. If they go 7, it's going to be a hard 7 games because they body each other. I mean, even in games that are routes, they knock the hell out of each other because that's how they like to play. Well, you may like to play that way, but it has an erosion, a corrosive effect, and it wears you down as time goes on. I mean, game 2, there were Celtics walking to the locker room almost in regular intervals and then coming back later as though they were all Willis Reed. But it's been, you know, guys getting knocked woozy, guys getting hit in sensitive areas, the whole nine yards. It's been cranky hockey. And I don't know if that's got anything to do with the right now, but those are two teams that like to play that way. And if that series goes 7, they may do okay in the opener because they'll still be, you know, in a rhythm. But ultimately, I think that wears on a team because they're going to go from a grinding series to one where they have to run around more than they've ever had to.
So why are we looking at an NBA that is producing uncompetitive playoff games for several quarters of the game, if not the final total of the game? Jeff Van Gundy basically threw out a hypothesis saying that he thinks it's injuries. It's injuries over and over. Right when you get used to playing someone some way, they change because of an injury. Maybe that has something to do with it. I think the proliferation of the three-point shot, well, it's the ultimate eraser of mistakes. You can get away with a lot of turnovers, a lot of mistakes, a lot of rebounding, inefficiencies if you're having an efficient night from the arc. So that is the great equalizer in basketball. Others have said, you know, it's certainly a combination of the two. Others are saying that it's just, you know, the teams that you thought would be here maybe aren't the teams that are here. So you have to tamp down your expectations. Maybe Philadelphia would have represented itself better in this round. Maybe, you know, Brooklyn, I don't want to hear about Brooklyn.
No, totally not Philadelphia either.
Yeah, and you know, maybe Phoenix would have made. I don't think the Warriors would be looking at a chance to sweep Phoenix had it been the Suns. But what do you think it is?
I'm not convinced it's injuries because there were injuries last year and there were injuries the year before during the COVID and there were injuries in 2019. It hasn't been like this before. I think it is in considerable part just sort of the uniformity of analytics, which is shoot threes, don't shoot in, you know, inside 15 feet. It's not, you know, and I think as a result, if you're not shooting well from three, you get blitzed pretty quickly. The more interesting thing to me is the number of teams that get blown out in one game and then come back immediately thereafter and blow out the team that just blew them out. And I think that's more sort of make or miss from distance than anything else. I mean, Dallas, when they played Phoenix, they made their shots and they took as many then as they're taking now. The difference here is in games 1 and 3, they shot like 24%. They had a game against Utah in which they shot 26% and won by 25 because Utah shot 10%. So I think more than anything else, it is an over-reliance on the three, whether you're shooting it well or not. And it's interesting to me that the team that you would think would be taking more threes than anybody else is taking a fairly low number of them, because they're having so much success inside the arc, and that's Golden State.
Through three games this series, the Warriors have only shot 89 threes. 138 have been taken by Dallas, and Dallas is hitting threes at a 31% clip overall. The Warriors are at 39%. So when the Warriors are shooting around 40% from three, we know how tough they can get to handle. Lucas and I actually talked about this last night. We did the Twitter spasses together. I think we did I'm going to give us a C+, Lucas, don't you think, for a game where a night where nothing was happening. You had Giants getting blown out. The A's getting blown out. We had no basketball to really talk about. So that game, you know, between the Celtics and the Heat stunk last night.
Yeah.
What do you think is going on?
I think all of that makes sense to me. I think there's one other reason that I haven't heard many people say. How about the fact that there's no extra day off for travel? Where both of these series are playing every other day, no matter if they're going from one city to the other, from Dallas to the Bay Area, from Boston down to Miami. You even in previous series this season, we've seen extra days for travel. This is something that we're used to seeing, and we haven't seen it this year in the conference finals.
No, you don't, no. Conference finals always go every other day because that's what TV wants, and that's been true for a while now. The series that have the biggest breaks are the first rounders. That tightens up because TV wants to tighten up. And now it's going to be every other day and the same format that they've had forever in the finals, which is every other day except for an extra day between games 2 and 3.
Is that a good thing, though?
No, here's the thing. I don't think it's like that this time around. I got to...
If it's every other day, then they've changed that. But every other day is normal in the conference final and has been for a while.
I think in the NBA finals, there is a 3-day layoff in between games 1 and 2, a 3-day layoff in between games 2 and 3. So they draw out the NBA finals for the better part of 3 weeks. If it went 7 games, I believe they're playing for 20 days. So there's an awful lot of basketball coming up. You know, drawn out for all the media attention and all the masters that need to be served with an NBA Finals broadcast, telecast event. I'll tell you, it feels big when it does come. There is no doubt. Welcome, boys and girls, children of all ages, to your 4 o'clock hour.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.